So everyone showed up for Mass ready tonight, correct? You're ready. You all showed up excited to hear this gospel passage that was just proclaimed because you all know that we are in part four of a five-part epic. Because you all know that the church for the last 3 weeks, this week and then next week, is walking us through step by step the sixth chapter of John. You all know that, right? That's why you're all excited to be here. You're ready? All right, good. And you know that every Catholic should know John 6 inside and out, right? Because if you know it inside and out, you'll never not be Catholic. You'll rejoice at being Catholic because in John 6, we have exactly this teaching that Jesus gives himself to us, his flesh and his blood as true food and true drink. But just in case someone hasn't been like studiously going over John 6 so that you would be ready for Mass tonight, let me just give a quick recap. Okay, 3 Sundays ago, we started the chapter. Jesus kicks things off by multiplying the loaves. He takes 5 loaves and feeds 5,000 men and their families. So Jesus shows that he can do wild stuff with bread. And the people love that. They love it. 2 weeks ago, Jesus raises the bar for the people a little bit. And he challenges the people to work not for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And the people like that. They say, "Sir, give us this bread always." And then Jesus takes it up another notch, and he says, "I am the bread of life. So I'm not just about multiplying loaves and fish for you. I'm not just about satisfying your earthly needs. I want to give you the bread that endures for eternal life, and I'm going to give that to you. Give us this bread." He says, "I am the bread." People don't know exactly what to do with that because Jesus is pushing them beyond their natural understanding. And so they start to kind of wonder about what he's saying. They murmur. It's what we heard last week. Or another way to translate that is they grumble. They say, "How can this man give us the bread that came down from heaven? How can he say that he is that? Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Don't we know his father and mother?" So they start to question, and Jesus isn't having any of that. He says, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him." Just a pause here, because I don't think I've preached on John 6 to this congregation yet because of our preaching schedule and me being gone 1 week. Before we go any further, Jesus Christ is the full revelation of God. He is the one who shows us who God is. He is the one who shows us how to follow him. So, brothers and sisters, when Jesus decides to do something, he doesn't need to ask our permission. We follow Jesus on his terms and not on ours. Are we all clear on that? Because listen, if we follow Jesus on our terms and not on his, we'll just follow ourselves. We'll pick and choose. We'll see certain things that we like, and we'll choose those. And we'll be like, "Yeah, I affirm that. I agree with that." And then the things that challenge us, which, by the way, are almost always exactly the places we need to grow in our spiritual life, we'll leave those behind. "I don't like that." We'll treat Catholicism and Christianity as if it was a cafeteria. I'll just scoop certain things out that I like, and I'll take a lot of it. And then if there's something I don't like, even if it's the thing I need most, I'll skip over that. And I'll just take more of what I like. Well then, friends, we're not following Jesus. We're not actually being disciples. So we follow the Lord on His terms, not on ours. He sets the parameters. So Jesus, after hearing this murmuring, He says this to the Jews. Amen, amen, I say to you, which is key in John 6. It's a way of understanding Jesus saying, pay attention. This is important. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Okay, what does Jesus mean there? Well, we heard it in the gospel, and we know what he means because of the response of the people he's talking to. The Jews who earlier murmured, because they say, how can this man say he is come down from heaven? Don't we know his father and his mother? Don't we know where he's from? Don't we know who he is? Again, then understanding Jesus on their terms, not on his. Now, they go from murmuring to outright quarreling. They say, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus meant what he said. I know in certain strands of Christianity, there's a tendency to use John 6 and to see it in metaphorical language. That Jesus is just giving a nice, if somewhat challenging, metaphor. Because he uses metaphors in other places. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. Those are nice metaphors. Does he also mean that with this? Is it just a metaphor? Is it just a nice symbol? That the flesh and the blood that he's talking about is just a spiritual way of understanding that he wants to be really close to us. Well, the Jews don't think that. They're quarreling among themselves because they just heard someone say, eat my flesh. And they say, how could he say that? Does Jesus soften his stance? Does he say, no, everyone, take a breath. It's a metaphor. It's a good teaching device. Do I have your attention now? He doesn't say that. In fact, he goes hard, even harder. These are verses 53 to 56 in the sixth chapter of John. Jesus says, after they quarrel among themselves, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Friends, there's no room for a purely metaphorical reading of that. Oh, it's just a nice spiritual symbol. No, Jesus, not only does he lose the Jews who he's talking to, they quarrel among themselves. Next week you'll see, he's losing his own disciples over this. Many of them walk away, they no longer accompany him, his disciples. And then he turns to the 12 and he said, did you get the metaphor? Did you understand the symbol? No, he doesn't say that. He turns to the 12 and he says, do you also want to leave too? Jesus is willing to lose every single one of his followers over this truth because we don't get to follow Jesus on our terms. We follow Jesus on his terms. Jesus, who is God himself, wanted to create this path for us. He wanted to give this gift to us, that his flesh would be true food, that his blood would be true drink. He makes a way for it to happen. And that way is the first Mass on Holy Thursday, a Mass that anticipates his real and bloody sacrifice on Calvary, a Mass that anticipates that gift, that offering, that allows his disciples to share in it in a non-bloody sacramental way. That was started on Holy Thursday. That has continued down the ages to you today, to us gathered here today, the same mystery, the same truth, the same reality. His flesh is true food. His blood is true drink, given to you and to me. That's what Jesus wanted to do. And that's what he did do. And that's what he does do. Friends, if we believe that, and it is the faith of the church, it has been clearly taught from the very beginning. If we believe that, everything about our life changes. I don't know if any of you know who Father Mike Schmitz is. I hope many of you do. He gave a good talk at the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. And he said some lines that I'm going to repeat. He said, "The remedy for ignorance is knowledge, and the road to knowledge is truth." Okay, good. Sometimes Catholics don't know what we believe. So if you're ignorant of the real presence, hopefully from this homily and from John 6 and the other Gospels, the Last Supper narratives, you can learn. You can come to knowledge about the truth. The remedy for ignorance is knowledge, and the road to knowledge is truth. But I have a feeling these next lines are more applicable to most of us. He said, "The remedy for indifference is love, and the road to love is repentance." Are we indifferent to this great truth? How many Masses have we been at? How many times have we just gotten in line, held out our hands, and said amen to one of the most amazing gifts? It's not one of, it is the most amazing gift that could be given to us in this life. It's God himself who comes to us, who searches us out, who gives himself to us. Are we indifferent? Well, the remedy to indifference is love. And the road to love is repentance. That's an interesting phrase and an interesting word, repentance. Those of you who have heard Bishop Barron preach know that he speaks about repentance, and he breaks it down into its root words in Greek, and it means to go beyond the mind you have. Repentance isn't to wag a finger at somebody. It's to go beyond the mind you have. I just wonder sometimes if we as Catholics have settled into our own small-minded way of approaching the Eucharist. We just go to Mass. We just go through the motions. And we don't know who we're really receiving. We have to go beyond our mind. Maybe tonight. Why not tonight? Why stay small-minded with such a great gift? There's nothing bigger that God could give us. There's nothing better that God could give us. There's nothing more important or more essential that he could give us. Because tonight, at this Mass, he gives us himself, his flesh as true food, his blood as true drink. Please, God, may we not be indifferent before that great gift.